Here, I ain't the least mite of objection, as long as it pleases you. I guess we can stand it if your city folks can. I presume to say things will look kind of singular to 'em, but I suppose that's what they came for. Idle folks do dreadful queer things to amuse 'em. And Aunt Plumie leaned on the rolling pin to smile and nod with a shrewd twinkle of her eye, as if she enjoyed the prospect as much as Sophie did. I shall be afraid of 'em, but I'll try not to make you ashamed of me, said Ruth, who loved her charming cousin even more than she admired her. No fear of that, dear. They will be the awkward ones, and you must set them at ease by just being your simple selves and treating them as if they were everyday people. Nell is very nice and jolly when she drops her city ways, as she must here. She will enter into the spirit of the fun at once, and I know you'll all like her. Mr. Randall is rather the worse for too much praise and petting, as successful people are apt to be, so a little plain talk and rough work will do him good. He is a true gentleman in spite of his airs and elegance, and he will take it all in good part if you treat him like a man and not a lion. I'll see to him, said Saul, who had listened with great interest to the latter part of Sophie's speech, evidently suspecting a lover, and enjoying the idea of supplying him with a liberal amount of plain talk and rough work. I'll keep 'em busy if that's what they need, for there'll be a sight to do, and we can't get help easy up here. Our daughters don't hire out much, work to home till they marry, and don't go gadding round getting their heads full of foolish notions and forgetting all the useful things their mothers taught 'em. Aunt Plumie glanced at Ruth as she spoke, and a sudden color in the girl's cheeks proved that the words hit certain ambitious fancies of this pretty daughter of the House of Bassett. They shall do their parts and not be a trouble, I'll see to that, for you certainly are the dearest aunt in the world to let me take possession of you and yours in this way, cried Sophie, embracing the old lady with warmth. Saul wished the embrace could be returned by proxy, as his mother's hands were too flowery to do more than hover affectionately around the delicate face that looked so fresh and young beside her wrinkled one. As it could not be done, he fled temptation and hitched up without delay. The three women laid their heads together in his absence, and Sophie's plan grew apace. For Ruth longed to see a real novelist and a fine lady, and Aunt Plumie, having plans of her own to further, said, "Yes, dear," to every suggestion. Great was the arranging and adorning that went on that day in the old farmhouse, for Sophie wanted her friends to enjoy this taste of country pleasures, and knew just what additions would be indispensable to their comfort, what simple ornaments would be in keeping with the rustic stage on which she meant to play the part of prima donna. Next day, a telegram arrived accepting the invitation for both the lady and the lion. They would arrive that afternoon, as little preparation was needed for this impromptu journey, the novelty of which was its chief charm to these blasé people. Saul wanted to get out the double sleigh and span, for he prided himself on his horses, and a fall of snow came most opportunely to beautify the landscape and add a new pleasure to Christmas festivities. But Sophie declared that the old yellow sleigh, with Punch, the farm horse, must be used, as she wished everything to be in keeping, and Saul obeyed, thinking he had never seen anything prettier than his cousin when she appeared in his mother's old-fashioned camlet cloak and blue silk pumpkin hood. He looked remarkably well himself in his fur coat, with hair and beard brushed till they shone like spun gold, a fresh color in his cheek, and the sparkle of amusement in his eyes, while excitement gave his usually grave face the animation it needed to be handsome. Away they jogged in the creaking old sleigh, leaving Ruth to make herself pretty, with a fluttering heart, and Aunt Plumie to dish up a late dinner fit to tempt the most fastidious appetite. "She has not come for us, and there is not even a stage to take us up. There must be some mistake," said Emily Herrick, as she looked about the shabby little station where